We will carry on with our study of John 13. And today's focus is where the Lord Jesus Christ was going to teach very, very vital truths about his own death. And in the context of that, the new commandments of love that he was emphasizing for all of them. So our study today is from verse 31 to verse 38. You know, when we read about how the Lord Jesus Christ taught about death, the disciples found it very hard to understand. Peter tried to rebuke the Lord Jesus and said he must not consider this. And of course, the Lord had to rebuke him and to tell him that he was wrong in his understanding and his approach to this subject, this problem called death. But he taught the disciples 2-3 times, and they struggled with it until after a while, they didn't dare to speak about it anymore. But that doesn't help the whole issue at all. So this time round, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about his death, but in a totally different way. And I think we begin to realize that many of us struggle with the reality of death. Well, there are those who fear death, and they, you know, don't want to talk about it, refuse to think about it, and it almost paralyzes them. Well, there are some who don't actually fear death, so they say, but they dread the thought of death. Not exactly fear, but dread is not a great alternative either. And so the Lord Jesus Christ found a special way in which he could and he did address the matter of death. And this is such a profound aspect, a profound approach that we need to examine it very, very carefully. And so, reading from 31 to 35, we have these words. And when Judas had left the company, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the remaining disciples, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately." So in just 2 verses, the word glorified is used 4 times. Is glorified, God is glorified in him, God will glorify him and glorify him immediately. Now, we need to take a look at this very, very carefully. What is this all about? How does that work out? So we need to understand this idea, the key word called to glorify. The word to glorify simply means to bring glory. That's the whole idea, to bring glory to God. And God will, in return, give that glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will give him a glory that is not seen on this earth yet. And there will be something that he will do soon after his death. He glorified him immediately, actually has something to do with the resurrection in particular. So this is something that the Lord Jesus Christ had to teach them. What does this mean when we talk about the Son of Man is glorified? Now, a few things that you must bear in mind to understand this idea. To the Lord Jesus Christ, death is not the end of everything. It is a means by which he can bring glory to God the Father. And that is absolutely amazing thought. How does it work? Then we read, God is glorified in him. How does that work? Well, there are a number of aspects that we must consider. Number one, This was all part of God's plan for men to receive salvation through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this salvation is, the plan is completed, it is tremendous glory to God because his plan is working out well. To the Lord Jesus Christ because he has become our Savior. And glory to God indeed because men who are sinful may now be saved. And this is important. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ deserve as he completes this work on the cross of Calvary? And truly, God will glorify him in himself. So there will be a oneness. There will be a joint glory that we can only imagine. We cannot fully fathom simply because nobody can understand the fullness of God's glory. And that is important. And of course, the glorifying him immediately means to say that the status of the Lord Jesus will be changed. He will be raised up on high, seated at the right hand of God with a glorified body. Everything will be wonderfully different. And this will take place immediately. Immediately doesn't mean instantly. Immediately means in a short while's time after his death, from the third day, his resurrection, and his whole new ministry commences. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ was concentrating on, to glorify God. And God himself will glorify him. But at this point of time, the Lord Jesus Christ had to say to them, and this is important, he said, "Little children," he calls disciples, "this is a sign of affection. I shall be with you a little while longer." That's what he said to the Jews too. "You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you." In other words, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that is singular, that is with reference to himself at this point of time. And this was something that was difficult to understand. The way the Lord Jesus Christ died, the crucifixion on the cross, and everything else, all of that has to do with God's plan. But that plan was singularly that of the Lord Jesus Christ and cannot and will not apply to anybody else. That's what he meant. But he understood the disciples. They were like little children in more ways than one. But he had to tell them that he has to help them to understand this. They will not be able to be with him, to die with him, as in every sense of the word, because one is not in God's will, not in God's plan, neither were they able to actually do that. So what then is left behind? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ had to emphasize to help them to understand. Their focus should not only be on the reality of the Lord's death, but there must be something else even more wonderful, to think of how the Lord Jesus Christ will glorify God the Father. Now that is an amazing thought. Now that is something difficult, profound to wrap our heads around. But here is something that we can actually understand a little bit more easily. And he stated this very clearly, verses 34, verse 35, "A new commandment I give to you." The new commandment does not mean that it never existed before. The idea of learning how to love God was taught very clearly, even by Moses. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." That was exactly what the Lord wanted them to learn, how to relate to God. But over here, the word "new commandment" has the idea of a freshness. It's not old as in, you know, something that was taught in the laws of Moses, but a fresh new way. There was, it's like a reminder, but it is nevertheless a commandment from the Lord, and this was absolutely important. So why was this emphasized? Love for one another. Now, let's be very honest about the whole situation. Did the disciples really love each other a whole lot? Not really. I mean, that's something that we need to understand and appreciate, right? It does not follow that two brothers, James and John, Peter and Andrew, will automatically love each other just like this, simply because they're brothers. But it's not really a fact, right? Now, this is important for us to understand. Now, this later on, we will see Peter ministering closely together with John rather than with Andrew. And John was with Peter rather than with James. So it does not follow that brothers in the flesh or in the blood would necessarily be closer one to the other. But the Lord's insistence is absolutely vital for us to consider. He wants them to love one another. This is how they will prove that they are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ taught them, it is to learn to love. He taught them how to love enemies. He taught them, obviously, how to love God, to the rich young ruler. What do you think? And so he says, yes, we are to love the Lord God with all our heart. And all those things, all these things and the commandments of the Lord, he has kept them. Those things are good things to know and to believe in and to trust in. So this idea of love for each other is actually well taught all over the place. No question about that. But there was the freshness of this reminder that makes this idea of love stand out. And love is to become literally the hallmark of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. They are to learn to love the Lord, to learn to love the scriptures, to learn to love the gospel, to learn to love the Lord Jesus, and then obviously to learn to love each other as well. Now, all these things were said to disciples, but somewhere, somehow, Peter missed the point. So he came back to the Lord Jesus and said, where are you going? Now, the Lord is now emphasizing first about glorifying God in his death. Next was about a commandment. Now, Peter didn't take up this word about the love that the Lord wanted his disciples to have, but went back to the old issue. And that old issue was to look at death and glorifying. And so he said to the Lord, where are you going? He knew what the truth was. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to his death. But he nevertheless raised it up. Okay, where are you going? And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to him very frankly, very earnestly, Peter, you cannot follow me now. Right? But one day you will. And Peter said this very clearly to the Lord Jesus, that he will lay down his life. I will follow you, and I will follow you now. I will lay down my life for your sake. Now, that was a love for the Lord Jesus, no question about it. But love for the Lord Jesus is one thing. Whether you have the faith and the strength to actually see that love in fruition is another thing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to say these words to Peter, right? He understands where Peter's heart is. And so he said, will you lay down your life for my sake? Of course, the answer is, the Lord knows that one day he will. But right here and now, most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Now, that is a very, very tough word to understand. What does this mean? And of course, Peter will have to learn from reality of life itself that he will deny the Lord three times, just as the Lord had forewarned. Now, as we look at John 13, 31 to 38, we have to ask ourselves some questions in order to wrap up our study of this short passage. Number one, how do you understand the subject of death? See, if many young people, even middle-aged people, we are literally not quite ready to accept death as a reality. Now, we know that sooner or later, one of these days, we will die. We understand all that, at least theoretically. But here is a thought that we must consider very carefully. Can we say that through our death, we can glorify God? This is a new angle entirely. And this is an angle that we want to give thought to. Have you ever thought about how to live in such a way that we will die in glory, to die glorifying God? That will mean that we have to live well, we have to live nobly, we have to live obediently, we have to live consciously, fulfilling all that God wants us to fulfill. And if we can do that, then our death will bring glory to God. Because by that time of death, we are ready in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit, and we are absolutely, totally unafraid of death at that point of time. Now, that is a good challenge for us to consider, to develop a faith and life and a maturity that helps us cope with the thought of death. Then the second challenge we need to consider is how well we know ourselves. Sometimes we are impressed with our strength, but perhaps we are not as much in touch with our weaknesses. How does that work? Peter was very sure he can follow the Lord Jesus. He will lay down his life for the Lord Jesus. All those are wonderful words. They are moving, uplifting words to speak and to hear. But what's the reality? Peter would fail and falter, and this can happen to any one of us. And so our challenge must be to know ourselves better and to ask ourselves whether we can turn our weaknesses into strength. I think that's important. And here is the third lesson that we must seriously consider. Like the Lord Jesus Christ said, the first thing that we need to learn to be challenged by to memorize John 13, 34, 35. And to speak of the Lord Jesus' commandment as something very real and personal to us. Right? We can't say we love everybody. That's a reality. And you'll find that the number of people we can say we love could be far lesser than we imagine. And there are some we find it very hard to love at all. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to emphasize this to all his disciples, that they must consider the whole idea of what it means to love one another. And love is no longer just a suggestion. It is expressed clearly, specifically, as a clear and definite commandment. How do we see ourselves as disciples of the Lord Jesus? We think in terms of following, we think in terms of serving, we think in terms of doing things for the Lord, or even of giving. And all those things are absolutely good and wonderful. But there is one aspect that we must consider, and that aspect is to learn how to love one another as the Lord Jesus Christ has loved us. Is that an easy thing to do? In all reality, and we will have to recognize the fact that it is not an easy thing to do at all. And so our challenge is to ponder these thoughts and to pray humbly to the Lord and to ask him to teach us how we can fulfill this commandment of his to love one another as the Lord Jesus Christ has loved us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of the Lord Jesus, in a way he was able to face the reality of suffering and death. Help us to learn how to live this way too, to glorify you as our Father in heaven because of the way we live, because of our faith that we have. I pray, Lord, that you will teach us how to know ourselves far better, to recognize, to confess to you the many areas of weaknesses in our life, and then to determine that we would work at overcoming these weaknesses. We pray that you would bless us with a special sense of love for you, for God and Father, for the Scriptures, and especially for each other. Teach us how we can do this. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.